It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Celtic fan, I know my team can't stand, like, for example, the 76ers or right. the Knicks or whatever. Like, I do. I think it's good to have these kind of, like, I don't want anyone to get hurt and all that stuff. But, like, a little physicality, a little pushing and shoving, I don't think it's the worst thing.
No, it's not. Well, Joe Mazzulla says he just wants fighting back in the game. Said he thinks, yeah, you didn't see that? Joe Mazzulla, you saw that, right, Spinotti?
Yeah, he thinks they should go back to hockey, like hockey rules, like goons and stuff like that, and just fight and get it over with.
I'm actually not mad at that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, the fighting is one thing, but like the pushing and shoving, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, pushing and shoving, you're going to get that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You get that all the time.
I just want to know that they hate the opponent as much as we do the fans. And I know they're never going to, you know, because everybody's
it's
getting
brotherhood
crazy and, money yeah, and all that stuff. And they all grew up together playing. I get all that. But like on some level, that's why I think Anthony Edwards is so beloved, because he clearly like he don't really like anybody.
Yeah, no, he's cocky. He's cocky. And I think he likes him, but... You know, you're going to get pushing and shoving. You get that from time to time. Just all-out fighting and hacking, that's not good for the kid.
No, that I agree with.
You got kids watching and stuff like that. These guys are role models.
Well, guys can't
get hurt. Whether they like it or not. So you don't want that happening. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. It is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Go get you something out there. Where's Dre Jersey got ripped off in half by Bradley Beal? That was wild.
Oh, that's
that was wild
right.
back in the day. But you know what? Forget about the beef stuff, because Draymond's been playing excellent basketball. Excellent basketball. The fit with Buddy Hill. And we were talking about fits and culture, because we were talking about quarterbacks yesterday. And, you know, part of it, and I think we're all learning this as a society, that it's not so much about your talent. You could be a superstar, but if you don't fit somewhere, you don't fit. And we've seen a lot of superstars not be able to fit in the NBA together. It's about fit and who's the right player at the right time. Not the name on the back of the jersey, but who fits and who can contribute to what that team is trying to do. And right now, Buddy Hield fits with the Golden State Warriors. Now, King fans are trying to warn us all. And I hear D'Lo and KC and all the buddies down at NBC Sports Bay Area asking, saying, "Oh, Buddy, do you just wait 20 games in?" Well, I'm not. I'm going to ride the wave here with Buddy Hield. Now, he joined Jim Rome yesterday, and he discussed his fit with the Golden State Warriors.
Fitting situation. And something I've been done for a long time, but also getting the recognition, but also playing to a team that wants to emphasize the three balls and complement my movement, you know. And I watched these guys all my career. I mean, in college, you know, I go to the NBA games when they came in town, Oklahoma, and watch them play. So it was just, I studied them. I always wanted to play in that type of system that they that they apply to the game. And, you know, I always tell everybody, if it wasn't with Steph Curry, I probably wouldn't have been drafted the sixth pick because of my shooting. But, you know, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm just glad to keep building.
So he talked about that, watching the Warriors, and he always felt like he could play in the system. What would you react to that? And then, if he put any pressure on himself to replace Klay Thompson?
I always wanted to play in this style of play, you know, and all I know how to do is be Buddy, you know, not trying to be Clay or trying to replace him, just be Buddy and add my strengths to this team, which is my movement and my energy and my charisma and just being me. And once you come in with the right intent and not trying to fill or replace anybody, like, good things will happen, good things will follow.
And him and Clay are boys, because they play for the Bohemian team, Team Bahamas. They were down there working out together. Clay couldn't play because I forgot the application was late or something like that. Anyway, but they're teammates down there. But Buddy has the perfect answer. Just be buddy. Don't try to replace a legend. We see, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, Shafsky, people try to replace somebody. Just be you. Same thing at radio, right? Just be you. Just be you. And that's what Buddy's being right now. And I didn't know he had this much charisma. Maybe Sacramento drained him from all that charisma. He bounces around the league, goes to Indiana, Philadelphia. He feels like he's in basketball heaven right now.
Fit is something I'm really, really, really coming around. And like, we always kind of knew it was there. But the more and more that I like study this stuff and I think about it, like, talent is going to override a lot of things for a lot of people. But you can have all the talent in the world, but you do have to fit in the situation. But I think the majority of these players don't have, like, for example, I'll give you an example. I believe Magic Johnson would have been special anywhere. But boy, did he fit LA perfectly. Did he fit that time in that team and that place and that community and that style of play to a T?
Yep.
Right? And it was just perfect. Same thing with Larry Bird, right? He fit that team and that community and everything. It was just like perfect. You could not script players for their communities and their style of plays any better. But then I think of guys that are like lesser talents, right? Pablo Sandoval. It didn't work out in Boston for a variety of reasons, but clearly the fit didn't, it just didn't fit. And then when he comes back home and like, you guys, all we all knew, like, he just fits here. Like, he just does, you know? And I think Buddy Hield is more in that Pablo zone where like the fit really, really matters. Not that he's not a good player, he's a good player, but like the fit really, really, really matters for them to be their optimal version of themselves. Think Johnny Damon with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. The fit was perfect. Mm-hmm. The beard, the hair, everything about him, you know? Dustin Pedroia. I don't think Dustin Pedroia is Dustin Pedroia if he's playing for the Milwaukee Brewers, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to shortchange him. It's just my belief. And the more and more I think about this, B, I think, like, obviously Buddy Hield fits just absolutely perfectly for his situation. And I don't know, man. I think that as I look across the sports landscape and we talk about adding players to certain teams and things like that, Christian McCaffrey would be good in a lot of systems. Boy, he's the perfect fit in Kyle Shanahan's for this fan base, this team, this region.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Fit matters. More so in sports, culture, character. You know, that's why the Niners have been so good over the last 5-6 years. Because they have high character guys that just fit that locker room. They fit what Shanahan wants to do. They fit that culture. Warriors, they were so successful because guys came in and they got high character guys and it fit the culture. And that's why they were able to welcome guys in like JaVale McKee and Nick Young, taking flyers on these guys. Now they took a flyer on Kelly Oubre Jr. and Joe Lacob told us to our face. Yeah, now, I don't think that worked out. Now he didn't name him by name, but he goes, look, man, I was a little ambitious because I wanted to win so damn bad. This fit of Buddy Hield, the shrewd move, and having the intel, I can't get over what Fitz said about Chris DeMarco and Ron Adams being out there with Team Bahamas. And getting to know Buddy. So when it came around the event, you know, hey, what about Buddy Hield? Mike Dolan, if you say, hey, what do you know about Buddy Hield? Yo, this guy, man, I think it might work. It may work here. And it has worked so far. He's averaging 21 points per game. And you see the movement. You see him driving to the basket. I didn't know he had that in his back. I didn't see that same player in Sacramento. I certainly didn't see it in Indiana. And we didn't see it in Philadelphia because he barely played.
The fit has been perfect for him. And I also believe that he's... I think he's matured to some degree. Now, obviously, you got to do it for longer than 8 games or 7 games or something like that. Let me throw another name at you, B. Like, Nick Saban's a pretty good coach, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Nick Saban obviously had great success at LSU, goes to the Miami Dolphins. He's just not a Miami guy.
No.
And he didn't really love the NFL at that particular point in time. Now, do I think he would have been successful? Probably eventually, because I do think he's that great of a coach.
Well, they were like 9-7 that last year. I think they had won like 7 in a row in the season. They were trending in the right direction, but the Bama job was
better. He fit Alabama like a glove, okay? Yep. He was perfect in that situation. I think of what's going on with Lincoln Riley at USC right now. Lincoln's kind of a Southern guy, you know? I don't think he's a glitz and glamour LA guy. Pete Carroll fit USC perfectly. He understood what it was like. He's the goofy old guy. He leaned into the superstars. Yeah. Like, he fit perfectly. And so, like, I don't know if Buddy is, you know, Nick Saban or whatever, but it does, like, you've been talking about this for weeks on end, and I'm now coming all the way over to your side of the church, if you will, O'Neal. And fit is maybe more important than overall talent.
Yeah, it does. Team chemistry. Fit. You think about that first Warriors championship, Klay wasn't a superstar yet.
No.
Draymond wasn't a superstar yet.
Mm-mm.
It was Steph Curry, and it was strength in numbers. But all those guys fit. Livingston fit. Mo Buckets fit. Barbosa fit. And they're starting to, like, it's very early. We got to see what happens on this road trip. But this team is reminiscent of that, where who, on any given night, you're going to have a number two scorer. I don't really care about a designated number two scorer. We know Steph's the guy. How does it revolve around him? They're playing great team defense. They're playing great half-court defense. They're hustling. They're grabbing loose balls. They're winning the 50-50 balls. They're deflecting things in the half-court. They're scrappy as hell. They're getting great shots, and they're starting to take care of the basketball. That's a good basketball team right here. So if they can keep that up over these next three games, we're going to look back at Mike Dunleavy's offseason and say, damn, aren't we thankful they didn't trade for Paul George? Wow. They didn't trade for Lowry Marketed. You have all this depth. Steve Kerr's playing 13 guys. It fits, and that's why there was a quiet confidence within an organization. Going into media day, before media day, Shasky, winning without to Hawaii, there's this quiet confidence amongst Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, players, coaches. All right, Bonte, I think we're going to be pretty good. We don't know how good, but I think we're cooking with something here, and I think we're a little bit better than last year. And I'm thinking, well, last year you won 46 games and Draymond missed 27. The year before, you only won 44. Okay, great. You're coming off a championship. You struggled and whatnot. But wow, you think this team's... And there's a quiet confidence with this bunch. And it's come to fruition early. But we'll see tonight. Yeah. We'll see Friday and we'll see Sunday.
This is more of a bigger question, but like... And I want your opinion on this. I think Steph would have been really good in a lot of places, but I don't think he'd been this version of himself. Like, I always go back to the Mark Jackson stuff and, like, mm-hmm. the empowerment and playing for Don Nelson for a short period mm-hmm. of time. And, like, I do believe that Steph Curry, for whatever reason, reached his maximum potential in this location. And I don't think – I'm not saying he wouldn't have been good. That's not what I'm saying. I think he would have been good in a lot of places.
Steve Kerr maximized his talents with the system.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The fit was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at the trickle-down effect across the whole roster. I don't know if Pods works in a lot of places, but I know he works here.
He's a winning player.
I don't know if Kevon Looney works in a lot of other places. I know he works here.
Yep.
Draymond Green's like the ultimate of this to me. Like, he was a tweener and, you know, coming out, no one really knew what position he was or whatever. And as a point forward, playing alongside that guy, Steph Curry, it's like one of the greatest fits of all time.
Man. Ooh-wee. It's gonna be fun tonight. I cannot wait. We got more sound on Draymond Green, Grant Williams, Buddy Hield, Steve Kerr, Joy Willard, and Diz. We'll get into it. 888-957-9570. Dub Nation, where you at, man? Wake up, smell the coffee. We got a big game tonight in Boston. Warriors and Celtics tonight at 4:30. Pregame starts on NBC at 3:30. What time is our pregame show here? Is it at 3:30 as well? 3:30 p.m. Who will it be? Willard or Dibs? All right, there it is. That's all coming up. All coming up. Brought to you by. Man, I need to go here. I need to fly somewhere. San Francisco International Airport.
Mm.
That's a Sacaroni, baby.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonta.
I'm trying, Pods. I'm trying. You keep taking charges and... moving that basketball around the floor and diving on the floor and getting big buckets in crunch time. I do my job, Pods. I know you're going to do yours at a high level, man. I'm excited for tonight. Excited for this game tonight. 888-957-9570. These are three barometer games coming up. Celtics, Cavs, OKC. Just how good are the 2024-25 Golden State Warriors? We're having some fun diving into it. Rick Barry, 8 o'clock. Anthony Slater, 8:30. Gary Washburn, 9:20 from the Boston Globe. Going to be a lot of fun here on the Morning Roast. By the way, download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations, a million podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, stations, and radio shows like The Morning Roast. And catch amazing interviews you missed, too, like when Steve Kerr joined Willard and Dibs. 262, Comcast Business Sex Line. Surprise no wings, J.K. mentions in terms about player fit. Well, that was the big thing with the trade with Andrew Wiggins we're talking about on the show call. They made that trade for Andrew Wiggins, and I didn't think highly of Andrew Wiggins at the time in Minnesota. I was like, I've watched him in Kansas. It's like, he's good. But the fit here was like, oh, he no longer has to be the number one option. He no longer has to carry a franchise. He could chill and play off of Steph and Clay and Draymond Green and be straight. And we saw that come to fruition in the 2022 NBA Finals and that whole postseason run where Andrew Wiggins is like, I'm the best player out here, best two-way player. I'm locking you down and I'm dunking on your head. Now, he's back this year. He had an off game against the Wizards as he deals with his lower back strain. But he's going to be key tonight defending Jason Tatum and at times Derek White. Andrew Wiggins and J.K., J.K. fits off the bench, which Steve Kerr talked about. Shasky will play that in a second. But Andrew Wiggins fits alongside Stephen Curry and Draymond Green.
Yeah, and they've got to monitor whatever's going on with the back. That is extremely important. Obviously, the backs are so tricky, but they need this guy in the worst way. You know, we joking about the whole deep run and all that stuff, but like we all can acknowledge Wiggins looks really good early on this season. And the way this team is built, they can offset him being gone for a week or two, but they're really probably, you know, capped out if they're not going to get him back to full strength. So they're going to need him all the way. I have a question for you, Bonte. The game tonight, Boston, even with Jaylen Brown out, what are you hoping we learn about this team?
That this start is not fool's gold. I don't want to see them just not be competitive, turn the ball over, and not execute. Now, a loss may happen. This is the NBA. It's 82 games. You're not going to go through. You're not going to go 81-1. 73-9 is hard. We've seen it here, but they're not going to do that. Can they execute at a high level against a team that is locked in defensively like the Boston Celtics? Again, you look at the Boston Celtics and their numbers over the last couple years here. They've been excellent. Last year, they won a championship. Their defensive ranking was second. Their offensive ranking was first. They have two guys in Derek White and Drew Holiday at the point of attack, can lock you down, take your lunch money, take the ball out of your hands and go the other way and set up a wide-open three-point shot for Jason Tatum. So what I want to learn is this real? Is this sustainable playing 12 to 13 guys? Were the first six wins fool's gold or not? That's what I want to learn, Chasky. And we're going to learn it over the next three, not just tonight. We're going to learn it over the next three against Cleveland and OKC and, of course, Boston tonight. What about yourself?
Well, I think tonight is one test, and like you're going up against a team that likes to switch a lot on defense because they have so many versatile defenders, to your point. And so, you know, what's Kuminga look like off the bench? Can he continue to just put his mark on games given the role that he's at? Can Steph Curry start to increase some of his minutes? And then I look at Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kevon Looney. Can they continue to be an effective combination in the limited amount of time that they're out there? And given the different lineups that they've been kind of incorporating alongside them, can they continue to kind of get away with that? Right? Like, I think having that GP2, Draymond, Trayce Jackson-Davis lineup, it brings a lot to the table defensively. Where it can get a little tricky is if Draymond's not scoring, well, now you got three non-scorers. And so I guess where I'm going at is, can Draymond continue to offensively impact games with his 10 to 14 points? Because I think that's been crucial, crucial to unlocking various lineups for this team.
Now, you look at the season average, it's just 9 points and six rebounds from Draymond Green. But you look at the last few games here, 14-14-18. 14-14-18. The three ball. I mean, the three ball is rolling for right now. It's shooting 52% from the three-point line. So, to your point, you're right about that. You brought up J.K. coming off the bench here. Steve Kerr touched on this with Willard and Dibbs on how good J.K. has been coming off the bench.
It's a huge, factor for J.K. to give us what he's giving. And, again, everything is about the puzzle fitting. You know, everything is about putting together five men combinations. And we need J.K.'s force and power. And, frankly, we need it more off the bench than we do in the starting lineup. So I love what I'm seeing. He's handling it great. You know, he obviously wants to start. Everybody wants to start, but that hasn't impacted his effort and his energy at all. In fact, I think he's looked even better since we've brought him off the bench. I think it suits him well with this team. And so until things change, you know, we'll keep going with this, but I love what we're seeing from JK.
That's well said by Steve Kerr. His force and power coming off the bench, he's going to be able to be a number one or number two option coming off that bench. And doesn't mean that he doesn't get to play with Steph Curry and Draymond Green at various times. He's going to be able to finish quarters, finish halves, finish games maybe. That's another element we haven't touched on. Let's see them in a clutch game. and see who plays in the last 5 minutes now that Stephen Curry is back. I'm very eager to see the lineup combinations there by Steve Kerr. Will he go with the hot hands? Will he go offense for defense, defense for offense? I really want to know what Steve Kerr does there in the last 5 minutes of a close basketball game. But one thing for JK tonight, in these big games, sometimes he comes out like a bull in a china shop, right? He's just going 100 miles an hour. He's in fifth gear. It's like, yo, we got to slow down just a little bit here. KD play under control early in his basketball game, and then get himself acclimated to it. And how does he do that? Going to the rim, getting easy buckets. Then if you want to take some threes, sure, why not? Take a couple threes. But getting to the basket, crashing the glass, and just kind of slowing down just a little bit to start, because he's going to be hyped up tonight in Boston. JK's going to be fired up for this one.
This is a team, Boston, that's going to be shooting a lot of threes like the Warriors. What do you think? 80 threes today by the two teams?
Boston, yeah, probably 80. Oh, no doubt.
80 right? threes. I mean, this is like two teams that want to shoot.
Look, highest percentage of field goal attempts from threes.
Yeah.
Boston, 55% of their field goal attempts are from the three-point line.
How many are they averaging a game?
I get the makes in just a second. Highest points, highest percentage of total points from threes, 46% wow. of their points come from the three-point line. Which is insane. Now, 3 point makes per game, they're number one in the league. 19 made threes a game. All right? 19 made threes a game. Charlotte's second with 16.4. The Warriors are tied for second with 16.4. So these are two of the most prolific 3 point shooting teams in the league right now. But Boston, they don't do the mid-range thing. They're kind of like the Houston Rockets in the late 2010s.
Yeah, and like they have all these guys that. When the ancillary guys are hitting, they feel unstoppable. Mm-hmm. You know, Pritchard and Hauser and all those random dudes that are just draining buckets. I'm very interested to see with the Warriors tonight, like, can Buddy Hield sustain what he's been doing, you know, against this team, obviously Boston. They've got a little bit of familiarity with him. And I just want to see what it looks like. I want to see the Warriors trading blows in the fourth quarter. Like, I would love to see the lead change multiple times in the fourth quarter. I think it'd be good for them, you know.
Just
kind of like execute with 6 minutes to go. What are the closing lineups looking like? What are the combinations? Situational basketball. I don't think you can have enough close games early in the year to just kind of like feel things out. And you've got one of the best closers ever in Steph Curry. But like defensively, I want to see them in the half court. And then offensively, it's one thing when you're up 10, 15. Like I want to see a back and forth game.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw that late in Houston, right?
That's true.
Some resiliency without Steph. And that's why the Houston win to me, I'm going to put that aside because I think that was a good win. Now that I think about it, and we have a few days removed from that Saturday night win, to blow a 31-point lead. And Houston did beat the New York Knicks on Monday night. They bounced back and beat the Knicks, who are going to be, you know, contenders in the Eastern Conference. To blow a 31-point lead, you don't have Steph. Draymond fouls out. Pod fouls out. There's no doubt that's a game they lose over the last 2 years. There's no doubt they lose that game the last past two seasons. And they showed resiliency in that one, whether it was Slow-Mo, Looney, JK, Pods, big. That to me was like, oh, okay, to weather that storm.
Mm.
And the Rockets got some athletic dudes, man. And to weather that storm and survive and win that game in overtime on the road to start the road trip without Steph, Draymond, and Pods later on the bench in overtime. I think so far, like, we saw them in that tight game. It was like, oh, wow. Okay. There may be something here, and it was J.K. who brought it home in overtime, along with the defense of Kyle Anderson. But to your point, I do want to see a closer game.
When was the last time the Warriors won a game that we call a circle game? Meaning you circle it on the calendar, and you go, all right, this is one of the best teams in the league, and like I'd like to see you win this game. Like, when was the last time they won one of those games?
They beat Milwaukee last year, right? And they beat Milwaukee last year. It's hard for me to remember regular season circle games because we haven't had many of them around here.
Did they beat the Celtics last year?
They beat the Celtics. They did beat the Celtics at home in overtime.
They
came back from like 20 down in that game. Steph Curry went crazy in the fourth quarter. That was a TNT game. I'm looking here. I'm going to look at the schedule.
When was that in the schedule? Last year.
It was early. It was December. They were 12
and 14. Right before Christmas.
Yeah, they were 12
and 14. You and I did the show that next morning.
That's right.
We did do the show the next morning. That's right. Love it. So there, I said, love it. They just beat the Celtics. Love it. Love it.
Well, he didn't start.
He was strong for you. But being nervous is good. When you're nervous, it shows me that you care. And he was nervous because he was like, man, it's a big show.
Sit across from Bonte Hill. That's a lot to live up to.
Calm down.
No, that's not a gas you up thing, but yeah.
Calm down.
No, you
didn't
want to match your energy.
No, but when somebody told me a long time ago, when you're nervous, that means that you care. That means that you're telling me that you want to do a great job. You're a little nervous. That's fine. That's okay in my book.
When was the last time you were nervous on a broadcast?
Surprisingly, I was nervous for the first broadcast of the year on NBC because it was the first game of the season. You want to set the tone. Oh. It felt like the first day of school again.
Clean
you want to
it
make
up,
a great
Bonte.
Impression. So I was a little nervous for that one. For the radio show, the butterflies don't float as much anymore. They don't. Because I feel like I'm at ease. I'm cool, calm, and collected now, man. It's first like couple of years.
Flying the Millennium Falcon, you just hop in the cockpit
and go. Just relax.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
You got it. But the first few moments of a show, whether it's television or radio, there's always some butterflies there because you want to set the tone. Uh-huh. But you got to ease into it. The first few moments, even when I was a public address announcer at City in the Pro-Am, SF Pro-Am at Keysar Pavilion, the clock running down, and like, oh boy, we got 2 minutes till I got to talk. I'm looking at.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The clock, and I'm just like, these are the longest 2 minutes, and the clock's winding down. I'm like, oh boy, I gotta talk. Take a couple deep breaths.
Can you give me your PA voice? Like, introduce Sam Lubman and Joe Spadoni right now.
I'll do it right now. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 95.7 The Game. We're here hosting the Morning Roast from 6 to 10 a.m. I'm trying to think of what to say. Now introducing producer extraordinaire, out of Concord, California, Sam Lubman. Out of Pacific Grove, he hosts a pregame show. He's a father of two, Biddy and Nora. Joe Spadoni.
Hey, Spadoni.
Shut up.
That's not bad. I'm actually impressed.
Oh, I did it for 6 years. Pro-Am 2. My favorite one was Kiwi Gardner. He's coaching over in China now. Kiwi. I had one, and he was feeling it. He looked back at me and, like, pointed at me. You know, and Travis, remember Yeri's finest? He had the camera. Oh, yeah. So I was like, Kiwi's back. It was packed. I go, and I held the Kiwi so long. It was, Kiwi! And Kiwi scored through the line, shaking everybody's hands. Yeah. I made sure to get them all through. Kiwi Gardner! And he was like, he looked back and was like, my man.
My favorite, nicknames like that, like Kiwi, this is a great name, Circus King. So if you say Circus Kiwi King, Gardner, yeah. I go Circus King.
Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
Yeah, Circus King. I love you.
He was
Circus
a Pro-Am
King.
Legend.
He was a Pro-Am legend.
So for the audience that's just arriving right now, I got a little giddy this morning. I opened up my phone, and, you know, Bonte came in. He was frustrated. His headphones were missing, and
yeah,
I said, you know, I'm going to make Bonte smile.
One second. I was frustrated because your helmet went missing here at the studio.
Yeah.
I had somebody drink a smoothie that was mine out the refrigerator, just put their nasty lips on it and drunk it. It wasn't theirs. Had my name on it.
And oh, my God.
And then I leave my headphones and my mic screen every day for Sam Lubman to put in his locker. Every day. Nobody touches it. And for some reason, somebody wanted to touch it. So, you know, for people to go out there and touch things that are not theirs, and it's going on a lot at the studio, it's embarrassing. grown-ass people touching things that aren't theirs. All right, I'm done. But I was a little frustrated. It's like, you got to take my headphones soon? And we got nothing but broken headphones in the studio because nobody knows how to take care of things around here? Look at all these broken-ass headphones. One ear works, one ear flat works. It's hanging off my dear life. There's no quarter-inch jacks. I mean, come on, people. Clean it up around here.
Did you just turn into Rick Barry, who's going to be joining us in 28 minutes?
All right,
come on, people.
Right over.
I could not care less.
So I open up my phone this morning, and I'm just, you know, I'm a well-read individual, and so I try to, like, you know, as a journalist, you gotta see what other people are saying. And I open up The Athletic, and I go, you know, one of my favorite journalists is Law Murray, who covers the Clippers for The Athletic and also the NBA as a whole. And so I was looking, and he wrote down power ranking lists in the NBA, and I said to myself, I love a good power ranking list. So tier three in the bubble. The Grizzlies, the Nets, the Heat, the Knicks, and the Lakers from bottom to top. And then in tier two, they're in a good place, quote unquote. The Rockets at 10, Kings at 9, Denver at 8, Wolves at 7, and Bonte's Dallas Mavericks at 6.
No, they're not my Dallas Mavericks. Relax.
And then we get to top tier one. He calls it the contender tier. The Phoenix Suns at 5, the Warriors at 4, Boston at 3, Cleveland at 2, OKC at 1. Now, I told you that I wasn't going to lose my mind about the Warriors and go, they're going to go on a deep run. But don't let us beat Boston, is what I'm saying this morning. Because right now, as the power-ranked fourth best team in Law Murray's power rankings in the NBA with 8 games in, we beat Boston, and then we go on to Cleveland, and then we go on to OKC. And if we clip 2 of these teams, I will suspend my own rule, and I might start having deep conversations about deep playoff runs. Bonte, this is the runway. This is the runway right now. I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
No, I know you're not alone. Changing. No, I know you're not alone.
I know Warrior fans feel me. You wake up this morning and you're like, this team feels connected. We feel deep. I know we wanted to trade everyone away, but you know what? On second thought, we've taken a deep breath. We took a nap. We woke up. The sun rose and we said, maybe we're better having not made a trade. Maybe we're better with Kuminga off the bench. Maybe Buddy Hield was a good fit. Maybe Bonte was right, saying that an unnamed source on the team thinks they could get over 50 wins.
You laughed at me for that.
I did.
You laughed at me hard.
And you know what? As a mature individual who knows his own shortcomings,
you would guru.
Damn, Bonte did have a point.
Would you do this?
What?
I get my Steiny on. This is why Steiny and I have connected a lot over the last 2 years.
Well, you're the same guy.
He's kind of like
you. Just want to talk basketball, don't you?
Yeah, he loves talking basketball. There's no doubt. And he's on vacation right now. But Steiny, I can hear the frustration when he's dealing with Guru. He doesn't know how to handle it. See, I think I don't get enough credit around here for dealing with the flopping. And
did you pay attention to what happened this morning with the stock market? It went up 1,000 points.
Yo, I'm well aware.
The rise and fall of the economy, the real estate prices,
my Bitcoin,
the Warriors' ranking spots. At the beginning of the year, they were tier three. They're the fourth ranked best team.
It's Law Murray's power rankings.
Yeah.
He didn't even know who Law Murray was an hour ago. This is what I'm talking about.
And now I think he's the voice of reason.
He's laying down the law is what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Should we book him for the show tomorrow?
I would like you to do that.
We'll do it with the Clippers. I'll get Law Murray on.
This is the first time in the history of this show I suggested a guest and Bonte shot it down.
No, we'll get Law Murray on and get some Clippers. What's the point? We're going to get Law Murray on tomorrow. I'll make it happen. Look, we'll book him in the next
all
hour.
All I'm saying is that a week in, we're in this top tier one for his power rankings, and we get a chance to face the teams that are 3 spots ahead of us. Boston, Cleveland, OKC. These are the 3 best teams in the NBA right now, and we get a chance to play them.
Can I ask Spadoni a question?
Don't let us beat Boston.
Can I ask Spadoni a question? Hey, Spadoni.
Hey.
Would Matt Stivens be able to work with Joe Shasky?
No, right now he'd be like, I'm not allowing you to do this, Joe Shasky. I'm not allowing you to pivot this quickly into the season. You got to stand on it, is what Matt Stivens would say.
Presented with new information, one must make an accurate assessment of the situation moving forward.
You know what he would say? It'd be this.
I'm done discussing sports.
415. Comcast Business Text Line. Shasky, stop capping. You try to push back your old goalposts back to say we are going to make a deep run. You know, this is what bothers me. I'm getting my Steiny out because Steiny, I hear him every show with Cooper. This is what bothers me about you. And he'll get all upset and flustered. This is what bothers me. But this is what bothers me about you. And I'm going to say it with a smile on my face. I come in here feeling good off of media day, feeling good about this team. I said, man, no name player told me they're going to win 50. And you laughed at me so hard.
I know.
Like I was the biggest homer. And then I started getting flack on my own DMs. Hey, Bonte, man, you got to stop with the homer, dude. They're not even going to win. They're going to win 40 games. They're going to win. You should see the things on show. They're going to win 35 games. They're going to win 40 games. And I'm saying smash the over, 43 and a half. You should smash that.
Bonte, this is a compliment. You did have a point.
No, see, I don't like this. It's okay. This happens all the time.
What do you mean?
6 weeks later, what? I'm getting mocked at all week
what are you
long.
Talking
the
about?
Roasters are coming at your boys' dome because I'm feeling good.
See, this is the problem with society. We can't ever adjust opinions. I've adjusted my opinion based off new information, and I said, you know what?
No.
Bonte was more informed than I was.
No. This is the problem with society. We have no damn perspective, and we don't like to listen. We hear a couple words, and that's done.
When was the last time you heard someone in a public forum say, you know what, upon further reflection, I might have been off?
Never happens.
Well, I'm doing it now, and you're crucifying me for it.
No,
all I'm saying is that the Warriors on Lamar Murray's top tier one are ranked fourth. Oh, they're a contender. And if we beat Boston, I'm going to have a strut.
Law Murray's power. Oh my God, Law Murray. I got to call Law Murray.
Can you be a contender 7 games into a season?
This is
the Warriors are. Oh my God.
This is unbelievable.
All I'm saying is just give us a chance. Look, I didn't know I was going to love Buddy Hield this much, but I do.
God.
Sometimes it's love at first sight. And guess what it is? Like, shame on me. Like, let's just stop making rom-coms.
No.
If you can't fall in love at first sight, Buddy Hield and the Warriors and the Warrior fans are in love. Why are you poo-pooing it?
I'm not poo-pooing Buddy Hield. What are you talking about, poo-pooing? I'm the Warriors pre- and post-game show host.
Let us love him.
Who's not loving you love him?
I love
this team more than anybody. Are you kidding me? I'm the one when it was like struggling to go to a championship. They're going to win a championship. What are you talking about right now?
We're going to get divorced with Kuminga. We went to a therapist. We sat down. We worked out our
literally
disagreements.
On Friday,
and now we're happy.
Literally on Friday, you're ready to trade the whole damn farm for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And if we beat Boston, I'm keeping everybody.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not poo-pooing anything. Oh,
dude, this Warrior team's fun.
By the way,
I was
wrong.
I sold them short.
By the way, I'm going to do this right now. Monday, we have a very special guest. Klay Thompson's returning to the Bay Area Tuesday night, he's returning to the Bay to play against his former team, the Golden State Warriors. On Monday at 9 a.m., we will have Bay Area legend Jason Kidd on the show.
Very cool.
Mavericks head coach Jason Kidd will join the show Monday at 9 a.m.
So, I'm not just saying this. This is factual. We used to do these little, like, trading cards, you know, like baseball and basketball and stuff. Like, when you'd play youth sports, this is back in the day, before, like, all the phones and all that stuff. You used to do these little, like, trading cards, and you'd take the little, like, action photo and stuff. My basketball card for, like, 3 straight years, favorite player, Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Most kids in this region, if you played point guard, you know, Jason Kidd was your guy.
I remember I rocked the New Jersey Nets Jason Kidd jersey every day. I had the white one, the throwback white one, and then I had the gray one that said New Jersey, and I rocked those things until the wheels fell off because you talk about a true point guard, pass first point guard, great defender, control the game without scoring. That was Jason Kidd. And then later on, he became a good three-point shooter, wins a championship with the Dallas Mavericks. So Jason Kidd's going to join us. He does a great job with girls basketball. Jason Kidd Select. They go all over the country, all over the world to play basketball. He's sitting these girls. He's taking care of these girls. Jason Kidd is going to join the show Monday at 9 a.m. to talk a little Clay, talk a little Jason Kidd Select, and everything happening with J.K. because it's always love when he comes back to the Bay Area. Last time they came out here to the Bay Area, I got to talk to Jason. I was telling him, oh, man, St. Joe's. He goes, oh, you know about that, huh? I said, man, Pro-Am this and Cal Berkeley, you beat Duke and Bobby Hurley out there at Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, Illinois, beating Duke to invest in the Sweet 16. They did let me down. The next year when they were 5-seed, they lost to Wisconsin Green Bay, and that game was played in Salt Lake City, Utah, or somewhere Ogden, Utah. Anyway, they got upset by Wisconsin Green Bay. Remember that?
Oh,
Lamar
yeah.
Murray and Jason Kidd. But Jason Kidd will join the show 9 a.m. Monday.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me that's really flipped my opinion of the Warriors, and just come out and say it, it's Draymond Green. Like, I didn't expect this version of Draymond Green offensively. I also didn't expect a more happy-go-lovey, you know, Draymond Green when it came to the youngsters and the empowerment and the things that he's saying. Is he going to, like, screw up at some point? Probably. But I don't live my life like, oh, my God, when's the shoe going to drop? Like, I try to be optimistic, and I'm trying to give this guy a chance. And when I crush him for multiple years because of the negative things that he's done, right, I also need to be fair and give him love when he's played really, really well. And he's saying all the right things, and he's pumping up the team. My point here is that, like, I can't lie with what my eyes are telling me and what my heart is seeing. So, like, I'm in. I'm in on this.
Steve Kerr, what Draymond Green has done so, on what he's seen from Draymond Green so far, this is with Willard and Dibbs.
I see a guy who is playing at a high level, who's having fun, who's doing a great job leading, and, you know, to be honest, it's what I've seen for most of the past 10 years. I know who he is. I know what a winner and a champion Draymond is. I think he clearly got off kilter, you know, last year and the year before several times, and it hurt us, and he knows that. And I think he's really committed to to getting the best out of this team and to helping his teammates and being the best version of himself. And honestly, I'm not surprised because I believe in him so much. I know what a winner he is, but he's so emotional and so passionate that it can get the best of him sometimes, and it's our job to help him through that.
Well, what about his hot stretch offensively? Before we go to the lines here, his hot stretch offensively, this is something that I've wanted for a couple years now, and he's doing it. He's letting it fly from the three-point line, and he's being aggressive offensively, man. Three straight double-digit nights for Draymond Green. Here's what Kerr had to say about his hot stretch offensively.
I think the biggest thing is he's playing the four most of the time now. And as a four, he has to be a scorer for us. He's going to be open on the perimeter. He has to shoot the three. Three for four last night, 39% last year. I don't think this is a fluke. I think, he's not going to be a high volume guy, but he's going to be in that corner with Trace or Loon at the top and the offense running through a high screen and roll with the center that puts Draymond in the corner, and he's got to be willing to take and shoot that shot, and he has been. He's knocking him down, but again, it's just we're trying to forge the identity of this team, and the identity is a little different. The last couple of years, we've gone small more often than not with Draymond at the five, and we've recommitted to playing big with Trace and Loon and Draymond, and that means Draymond's at the four. So it's a different look.
Bonte, getting into like the deepness of X's and O's basketball, he took the majority of his shots from three-point land that would go in at the top of the key.
Yep.
And being able to hit the corner three is what kept Bruce Bowen in the game as long as he did.
And the wing three. He's hit the wing three.
No, but I'm saying he's added that this year. I'm saying Draymond has added that this year. I didn't think he was able to do it. By the numbers, they tell you it's the shortest three, right? The corner three, because of the way that the flooring is spaced out. But also, if you can get that shot, you're going to get that pocket three a lot because of movement, because it's the hardest to defend based on where it is. If the ball's on the opposite side and you swing it around, it's hard to recover to that spot. And so if he can hit that shot just enough to honor the defense, to honor him out there, it changes the whole flow of the offense. Well, and he's done that early on.
We've been saying this for the last couple of years, that NBA coaches do not want to leave a player wide open like that. They're hesitant to do that. It scares the living daylights out of them. And Draymond has been reluctant to take that shot. We see the Lakers with Anthony Davis. He is just camping the paint. He won't even go out to Draymond Green. And now that he's hitting the top of the key three, but he's also hitting the corner three, but also the wing three. He's right there on the wing hitting that three as well. He's stuck it in Houston, and he's stuck it in Washington, Washington, D.C. So he's playing better offensively. There's no doubt he knows he has to be aggressive. Steph Curry told us the other night on the postgame show, I don't care if he's 0 for 20. We need an aggressive Draymond Green offensively. So let's get to the lines real quick. Pete and San Ramon just dropped off. Let's go to Verducci in the El Dorado Hills. Verducci, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning. And Abonte, man, your intros, man, got me fired up, man. I'm driving on the Highway 50, baby. I thought you were going to intro me.
Oh, I got you, Vinucci. I got you. Hey, people don't know. That's a hidden talent of mine. I did it for 8 years.
I love it, man. I love it. And a funny Jason Kidd story. When I was teaching second grade in Oakland at Northern Light School, he was coming to our school to talk about his nonprofit and had an event. And he needed somewhere to change his newly born kid. And so he chose my classroom on my desk. And so I got to meet Jason Kidd, a guy that I grew up watching and such a nice guy. And so that was just a funny Jason Kidd story when you had started talking about him. But this Warriors team's got me excited, fellas. I mean, it's 12 deep. They're all interchangeable. But I think the biggest thing, one, like you talked about with Draymond Green's leadership, and I think he's really trusting the new guys fairly quickly into the season. I feel like in years past, it's taken Draymond Green some time to fully trust the newbies. But I think it's just the joy that they play with. I feel like there's so many players on this team that has that moxie, that's willing to take that shot. Even seeing Pods do it last game when they really needed it, it was awesome to see. But I think it's going to really come down to Steve Kerr. You know, he has so many players to play and guys that can handle the situation, but it's going to be his rotations and how he sees, you know, what players fitting at the right moments. So that's the big thing that I'm looking forward to. But I'm just happy that the Warriors are on top. I do think they are, you know, they are a championship team. I do think they're going to have to make a move at the end of the season at some point, maybe to get, you know, that other third star that we're looking for. But let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. My God, I can't even speak here. Warrior fans, and have a good day, man. Love you all, and let's keep it rolling, baby.
Hey, let's keep it rolling. Big game tonight in Boston, 4:30 tip-off. This is a barometer game. There's no doubt about it. We're fired up for it. Rick Barry will join us at 8 o'clock, and we can ask him about the team so far, the barometer that they're going to get checked, or the measuring stick that we'll see from the Golden State Warriors. Where are they at? Where are they really at in this league, in the hierarchy, in tier one of Law Murray's power rankings in the Athletic? Rick Barry, 8 o'clock. Avid pickleball player. He'll join us. He may talk for 20 minutes. Who knows? Anthony Slater, 8:30, who's live in Boston. And then we'll get Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe, who's also live in Boston. And he'll kind of let us know how Boston fans feel about Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, and the Golden State Warriors. So Steve Kerr was discussing everything about the Golden State Warriors and Buddy Hield's fit. But he also talked about the next three games.
In the course of 82 games, you just the schedule can go back and forth. Your health, lots of stuff can happen. You know, if you win 6 out of 7 in February, it doesn't get on the radar as easily as it does when you win 6 of your first 7 to start the season. So, you know, I know everybody is singing our praises, but the schedule has been kind to us to this point, and we're about to play probably the three best teams in the league the rest of this week. So great test for us. No matter what happens, we've got a ton of work ahead of us. I'm excited because when I watch the tape, I see all kinds of growth ahead of us. But it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some time.
The collective IQ of this team feels to be higher. And then, which is an odd thing to think about, because it's not like, and this isn't about Clay or CP3. Those are two of the smartest basketball players of all time. But it feels like from top to bottom, I'm going full roster here, they're playing a smart brand of ball. Like adding Kyle Anderson, he's just a smart player. He knows when to push, when to slow back. I feel like Kuminga's taken a step forward in his own understanding of the game. Clearly, Pods is playing, you know, a more cerebral game. TJD knows his role. Like, there's so many guys just, like, things are just falling into place. They're just falling into place. I love where they're at. This isn't a shoebox game, Matt Nahegian. I really like the Warriors tonight.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Don't
like the Warriors.
Oh, boy.
Really like the Warriors tonight.
So you bet on the Warriors tonight?
Is there something about the TD Garden? Curry?
You're taking the Warriors?
Draymond? I didn't say that.
No, you said it's a shoebox bet.
I said it's not a shoebox bet, but I really like the Warriors tonight.
So what are you saying? Do you like them to win, or do you like them to play
well? Well, what I'm saying, Todd, is that if the Warriors win, your boy is going to be strutting across Union Square tomorrow morning.
You really like them, so you're picking them to win. You have to stand on his ass.
I feel like Steve Kerr and the team knows how important this game is.
So you got the Warriors winning this game. You have the Warriors winning. They're 6.5-point underdogs.
Move on, Joe.
Oh, 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5-point underdogs.
Hammer the Warriors.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hammer it.
Oh, Tony.
Because I'm too legit to quit.
Oh, Georgia Los Altos, before we get to the injury report. Georgia Los Altos, man, what's happening, George?
Hi, guys. You know the big difference maker for me this year, besides, double zero being like Superman all of a sudden, which I absolutely love. It's unbelievable watching what he's doing now. But I think Jerry Stackhouse has been a huge, huge game changer for us. And the way he's got these guys playing defense, and even Draymond, you see the interview a couple of days ago where he was talking about what Stackhouse does to these guys and how unforgiving he is if they don't follow his script.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they're playing defense and the way Jerry Stackhouse has them, into his game plan, I think is incredible. I think it's going to go a long, long way for us as long as we can continue to play D. We got a really, really good chance to go all the way with this thing. I really believe that.
Well, I do too. And look, at some point later on in the season, they're going to like pare down the rotation. But to start the year off, I don't think it's sustainable. Like just looking at box scores, like Luka is putting up a lot of minutes. Like I know you always say he works himself into shape. I know he's young. Like these seasons are so long. And the one benefit to having the 12-13 man rotation that the Warriors have had is that you really aren't trying to put too much stress on any one individual or combination of individuals. Now, again, it'll work itself out and they'll pare it down and it won't be as big later on in the year because it's unsustainable to go that deep. But some of these other teams, like right now, Denver's figuring out their bench. They don't really know what they're doing with their bench
right now. Denver's taking a step back.
You're really down on them. I'm surprised.
No, I've been down. No KCP.
Yeah,
no
that's
Bruce
true.
Brown. Yeah. Aaron Gordon is out multiple weeks with a calf strain, and Jamal Murray doesn't look as explosive. Something's up with Jamal Murray. He's not right. Something's up with them. And he didn't play the other night. He did not play. They're struggling against teams like the Brooklyn Nets. The Raptors are taking them down to the wire a couple times. They're struggling here. So we'll see about Denver. We'll see about the West. Right now, I like where the Warriors are at. Big game tonight, though. Let's get to the injury report because somebody is missing for Boston.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
The Celtics are expected. Actually, expected. He's out. Jaylen Brown's out tonight when they host the Warriors on the parquet floor. Brown has missed the last two games with a left hip flexor strain. It's been bothering him since training camp, apparently. Head coach Joe Mazzulla did say that he is not concerned about the injury long term, and that is something the team will be managing going forward. Of course, this is the NBA Finals MVP, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. What is it? The Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP. So Jaylen Brown had a spectacular season on his way to a championship. It's a big loss because he lit the Warriors up last year in that 52-point win in Boston on a Sunday afternoon on ABC. All right, the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. The one and only Rick Barry next on The Roast.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.